5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, 4.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is Primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can and kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready? Bam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light. Ducks fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we made it into hour three of this primetime broadcast on a Football Friday.
And no one has died.
Are we sure? Have we checked in with everybody in this huge operation? Where's Tony? Has anybody seen Tony?
Who's Tony?
He may be dead. I don't know. I just made up a person, and then we can assume that he's missing.
Hey, I'm watching.
Create some drama, the theater of the mind thing, but then you just poo-poo that right away.
Yeah, I don't care. The Sixers are playing the Pacers, and I'm watching Sabonis.
Sure.
Did you think he would be as good of an NBA player as he is? Sabonis' kid, who played at Gonzaga?
Yeah, I didn't think he'd be as good as his dad, who was...
Well, he was awesome.
Yeah. And, but, I mean, he's got the size. Gonzaga puts in decent NBA players other than Adam Morrison and Dan Dickow.
Do we not give enough credit to what Gonzaga is doing?
No, we do not.
Particularly recently.
Yeah, we do
not. Because, I mean, they're awesome again this year. And I don't know. Sabonis, he's kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah. But, yeah, like Roni Turioff played for a long time. Yeah. And that was the guy that, I mean, certainly their bigs, I think, do well.
Zach Collins,
Kelly Olynyk.
Zach Collins. Hey, what happened to that love affair?
Yeah, well.
Right? First of the season. Oh, yeah, here you come.
Nick Stauskas said the same thing, and he's kind of cooled off a little bit. I do want to remind people if you missed
him. Yeah, but Stauskas is what he is. Like, Collins is.
Yeah.
Like, they're expecting him
to be. But he's also 20.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll give him a break then.
A little bit.
For another year.
Yeah. I do want to mention, if you missed any part of Hour 1 or Hour 2, you can go to 1080 The Fan and download the Les Schwab Tires podcast and listen back after this show is over. And you can do that with any show. You can go all the way back to the first show. Is that possible? I don't know.
Probably not. I'm looking here. Okay, so Zach Collins. Oh, Olynyk. We forgot about him.
I said Olynyk.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay. Jonathan Williams doing anything?
I can't picture Lakers. Any guards for Gonzaga.
Well, Williams is power forward.
I know, but I'm just telling
you. Well, Dickow was one. Let's see. I'm looking
through
here.
Yeah, but Dickow didn't have a long tenure in the NBA. Richie Fromm.
Well, Dickow kind of did, though. Dickow, he played on a lot of different teams.
He was, but he sat a lot of benches.
Yeah, he was a bench player, but he was around a while. Okay, so Adam Morrison. Yeah. I'm looking through for guards for you.
Richie Fromm played for a little while. He was with the Sonics. Yeah. He backed up Ray Allen. I remember he came in and scored 30, and Ray Allen's like, I'm not hurt anymore.
You're right. Not a lot of guards. Fromm and Dickow probably be the most prominent. Then you have Turioff, which you mentioned. Sabonis, Olynyk, Adam Morrison, Zach Collins. And there are, is Wiltshire playing?
I don't think he is.
Is he still in the league?
That's what I was curious about, but yeah.
Anywho.
Anyways.
I like those Zags, man. I think they do a good job.
And they're right now, I mean, it's no surprise when they end up being number one, or like when they beat Duke, you kind of go, all right, they're going to be good again. And I know it's exhausting for Swag to have them in the same conference as University of Portland.
They
just dominate.
They do, but you know
West
what
Coast conference.
Thing before we move on about Gonzaga is you got to give them a lot of credit because, and I was one, that the stigma of them, like you say, they play in the West Coast Conference, and you're like, well, when push comes to shove, they're not really that good. I mean, they benefit from the conference. Mark Few's done a good job, but come on, they're not like elite. And they fought that. They've fought that for 15 to 20 years, but they have sort of proven everybody wrong in that regard, right? In the last, well, they went to the final and then this team, you know what I mean? It's like they just keep getting better.
But you look at how long it's taken them to get the respect of the rest of the country, and then people go, UCF should be playing in the college football playoff. It takes a very long time. Like Boise State is, I think, a similar story where they just chip away and chip away and chip away and finally get into, an opportunity to play against Oklahoma in a Fiesta Bowl or whatever and win that. But they never, there's no way to really overcome that. We still haven't seen a mid-major win a championship in any recent years. Butler had a couple shots at it. Gonzaga's played in a final.
No, but I think that UCF and Boise, they, while very good, they never have the talent of the elites.
Well, I think it's different sports too, though. I mean, it's
Gonzaga these last couple years has. Yeah. I mean, they are legitimately a top tier program.
I guess that's kind of what I'm saying is how long would it take for a team like Boise State, and Boise State's kind of fallen back a little bit in recent years, but UCF, how long would it take to you could get on the same recruiting ground out of a smaller conference in football? I think it would take forever because it took
I don't think you can do it in football, but yeah. I think in basketball, Gonzaga is probably your best example, and
but
it's taken
it
20
years.
Years.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows? And I'm sure football will realign before they give, you know, UCF a chance to take 20 years of getting better and better and better. Anyways, it's time to go to the Hot 5 at 5:10.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Number five.
Two things I wanted to mention from the NFL here. One, in last night's game, the Chargers obviously got a big win. They go for two at the end. They win 29-28 over the Kansas City Chiefs. But it's worth noting that with that win, they still didn't pass the Chiefs in the division. Now, they have the same record, but the tiebreaker, because of a better division record, still stays with the Chiefs.
Hey, real quick. I know. I'm sorry.
You're good.
We forgot about John Stockton, and we didn't really forget about him. I mean, he was just way before.
It's a different era.
Yeah,
it's not part of this trending upward.
Right, yeah. That's what we were talking about. So the Chiefs and Chargers could get the one seed.
They could. It's They're both possible. Still eligible for it, but they could also be a wild card, and now they're in the fifth wild card position.
They showed the schedules last night, and I can't remember, but I think the Chargers have a slightly tougher. I think they play the Ravens, and then... I got to pull it up.
I'll get it for you here. So they are going to play against the Ravens Broncos are their final two games because that was their week 15 game, so they only have two games left. And then also worth noting in the NFL that tomorrow is the beginning of NFL Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
Texans, Jets at 1:30, Browns, Broncos at 5:20.
Texans, Jets.
That's right.
No, thank you.
And then Browns, Broncos.
Oh, God.
Browns still
Although
in the playoff.
Although the Browns are... They're kind of fun to watch now.
Yeah, Browns and Broncos both still alive in the playoff hunt.
And so. I can root against Mike's hated Broncos.
Yep, and you hate the Broncos now forever and ever and
hated.
Ever. All right, going to the NBA last night, James Harden did something nobody has ever done before. He got his fourth 50-point triple-double.
Whoa.
Made it a little bit easier by the Lakers playing defense literally with their hands behind their back to make a statement that they get too many fouls called.
What was the score of that game?
I believe it was 123-112, but I don't have it in front of me.
So. Rockets won?
Rockets won, yes. They beat the Los Angeles Lakers.
Don't you think this time of year...
126-111.
Like, the Warriors got smoked by the Raptors. Now James Harden's kind of waking up. It's like, don't you think at the end of the year and then before you flip the calendar... There's just a lot of teams that know they're good and they just coast.
I was reading an article the other day that the first 25 games of the NBA is like 85% accurate in predicting the playoffs.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was shocked by it.
Wow, I'd
yeah.
like to see that. I would not have guessed that because I feel like it's more like easing into a hot tub.
I'll see if I can dig it up. Maybe we'll talk about that in the next segment. College football update. This is kind of sad news, but Mackenzie Milton, the quarterback for UCF, has now had his fourth leg surgery injury. And you've seen with Alex Smith, he got that infection, and that recovery is not going
well. So is Milton's career over?
They don't know. Obviously, you don't know because he still has to recover, but four surgeries, you don't think it's good.
Dude, that sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
The kid's good. He was fun to watch. You watch him play at all?
Yeah, a little bit. And, I mean, you go 2 years without losing a football game.
A lot of respect for what UCF built, man.
Yeah, well, and they have a chance to play against LSU, and you beat another SEC team.
I hope they do.
So do I. Sports.
Number two.
All right, update your fantasy football rosters accordingly. It looks like Carson Wentz won't need surgery, but he does have a 3-month recovery period. But they're not sure if he'll play with that fractured vertebra in his back. Vertebrae. I did this yesterday.
I go vertebrae, but...
Yeah, vertebrae.
Tomato, tomato.
And then Giants Odell Beckham Jr. is out again with a quadricep injury against the Titans this weekend. Last week, they put up 40 points without him. And then after losing his starting spot, Barry Church has been released by the Jaguars.
They got rid of him?
Yeah, they're like, if you're not gonna start, just.
Is Mark Sanchez? Is you were talking about the Giants scoring 40. Is Josh Johnson now the quarterback in Washington?
Yes, I believe.
They benched Sanchez?
Yes, I believe so. Well, it happened in the game. I don't know that they've announced a starter. Or at least I haven't seen it. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not looking for it.
Dude, isn't that crazy? If you're Josh Johnson, I'm not looking for it either. But Josh Johnson now has a job. Like, you think if I told him that 3 weeks ago, he had been like, dude, I'd bet my life I don't.
Wasn't he the first pick in that?
Yeah, the AAF.
Yeah. He was?
Yeah. Yeah. The Alliance of American Football. Yeah, for San Diego Midshipmen or whatever they are. Number
one. Now he's starting in the NFL.
That's crazy. Well, I always think back.
God forbid Colin Kaepernick get a job.
I know. Well, I think you kind of know the collusion thing is real. But we were talking about the Kurt Warner story the other day. Remember the guy's bagging groceries and then goes in and wins a Super Bowl. The Redskins are still in it. What if he leads them into the playoffs? How great would that be?
That's the kid that played at where did Josh Johnson play?
I thought he played in California.
San Diego.
Yeah, at San Diego.
Yeah, he played at San Diego.
So what they did with that AAF draft is they let you pick local guys first. So,
that's right.
Yeah. Tonight, Blazers.
Yes.
Raptors. That's your number one. That's the biggest thing going on in Portland.
I have a hot take.
Fire away.
They're going to win. I'm not kidding. They're going to win. Now, here's the thing. I need to know about Kawhi Leonard. I know he was questionable. Mike, have you been reporting that?
He's still questionable, but I saw he's unlikely to play, but nothing official.
Yeah, he may. Okay, so if he doesn't play, he hasn't played for a couple games. Valanciunas is out now.
Valanciunas is out. You have Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry are both listed day-to-day on the injury report, but it sounds like Kawhi is questionable and Lowry will play.
Yeah, I don't even care if Kawhi plays. I am going to call it right now at 5:17 on these airwaves. The Blazers are going to win tonight.
Yeah.
And the reason they're going to win tonight is because
they're the Blazers.
It's what they do. Yeah, because we're so down on them right now.
Yeah.
But they really, really need a win. They are back home. Yep. This team will have their attention because they're damn good and they don't want to get embarrassed again. And I think Toronto is in a down spot because remember, they're coming off that Golden State win. And the win right before that, they kicked the crap out of the Lakers on the road. And their next game is this weekend. They're on the road at Denver. So I think this is a classic come to Portland and, wait, we have a game tonight and you wake up at halftime type of game. Yeah. And I think the Blazers can take advantage of that. And I bet you, I'm not going to put any money on it because the Blazers have looked like crap and their defense looks even worse.
Gentleman's bet.
Yeah. It makes your number two look like a number three if there's a number three. Have you heard that ad? We're running that ad on The Fan. If you listen to The Fan.
Is that the poop in the box ad or is that a different one?
Somebody says it may... I don't know if there's a number three, but my number two is definitely not a number two. It's very odd.
Yeah.
But caught my attention. Anyway.
What's it for?
I think they might win.
I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. I never know what any ad's for.
Fair enough.
So I think they're going
to
win.
Okay. Except for the train to Christmastown, baby.
It is It is fair to mention that also listed on the injury report, Anthony Simons is out.
Oh, who cares?
I don't know. It's listed here on the report.
Trade him.
Why is that a thing? I should mention to you that the Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Ducks and Beavers fan, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light and please drink responsibly. Where to go? We were going to go somewhere next, and it was kind of an audible, and I can't remember what it was.
You're in charge, bro.
I know, but didn't I mention something that you wanted?
It was the NBA first 25 games thing.
That's right.
What else do we have?
We've got football. We've got Saturday NFL starting tomorrow, and the bowl schedule officially kicks off tomorrow.
Bowls, okay.
So we'll do that then.
We'll get it all in.
We'll get everything in for you that is sport before we get to the club.
One other note,
which
I'll tease, but you know tomorrow is actually a really big day for Oregon football.
Yes.
So we'll get to that too.
Fantastic. That is all next to Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
Bing Crosby or Frank Sinatra singing you Christmas songs? Which do you prefer?
Probably Old Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
I love him. Bing's the best, though. It's just I'm partial to Old Blue Eyes.
See, I'm the same way, and Bing Crosby, I only think of for Christmas music.
That's right.
But Frank Sinatra, he can sing me anything.
Anything.
He can sing me anything. He goes right to my heart.
And, I don't know Bing's past, but Frank was always drunk.
Yes.
And I like that.
I think it was, I think it was Frank Sinatra that said, you know, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Great quote. And he's right.
And I believe, I think there's two that I attribute to him. That one I'm not as sure about, but this one was, I feel bad for people that don't drink because when they wake up in the morning, that's the best they're going to feel all day.
Ah.
That is also a good one.
Fantastic. You know, one of my favorite quotes is about drinking is from Ernest Hemingway, who said, an intelligent man is sometimes forced to be drunk to spend time with fools.
Ah, that is a good one. I don't know where this one comes. I'll credit my brother because he always says it. But wow. he said, drinking is borrowing happiness from tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Always like that one, too.
Doesn't resonate with me quite as much, but I love it. Hot drinking quote,
Tom. You tie one on, and you know you're going to wake up bad in the morning, but you go, you know what? Yeah. Let's make tonight last. And,
yeah, all right.
F the consequences. Yeah. So you mentioned before the break that this is a big weekend for Oregon football. This is the – it's not the only signing period, but it's the last weekend before the early signing period for college football.
Yeah.
And they're hosting 15 prospects. Mario Cristobal and the boys are rolling out the red carpet, and that includes the 9th overall player in all of the class of 19. He is a defensive lineman out of Louisiana. His name is Ishmael Sofscher. I believe that's how you say it. But he is one of 15 guys that are coming out to visit University of Oregon in what is right now the 7th, or I've seen 5th, I think, projected recruiting class.
Well, the only guy I go to for recruiting is Andrew Nemec, and he says they are currently 7th.
And that's 24/7 Sports says that. So there's a couple different rankings. But
so I'm not big into recruiting, but I did see that, yeah, they've got the 15 kids here and that one guy.
Yeah.
But the number one recruit in the nation has Oregon in his final four. He is the number one overall player. He's a defensive end.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah, right? Kayvon Thibodeau. And he is going to announce who he's picking at halftime of the North Texas-Utah State game tomorrow.
Why that game?
Well, it's a lot of eyeballs.
Sure.
You know.
Everybody's watching North
Texas. Yeah, I have no idea why. But 11 a.m. is the kickoff here Pacific time for that game. It'll be on ESPN. And at halftime, he is deciding between Oregon, Alabama, Florida, and Florida State.
Whew.
How about that? Number one kid in the nation.
That's pretty crazy.
And I remember when it was a big deal when he came to Eugene for his visit. He was here for the Washington game, and he was raving about the atmosphere and just, you know, it was a big game, and they won at the last second and everything. And he loved it. But this, you will be shocked to find out that Thibodeau is expected to perhaps sign with Alabama. So what is the point? What's the point, right?
Well,
but I guess at least tomorrow during halftime of the North Texas-Utah State game, Oregon fan can tune in and be like, oh, yep. Maybe. I mean, like, this is an impact type, but like, this is the type of guy that helps you get where those lofty, mm-hmm. extra lofty, even unrealistic expectations are.
For sure.
This is the type of player that makes that difference. It just sucks that, you know, you get in the conversation with these guys, but rarely land these guys. Like, second place gives you literally nothing, even though it feels good that you're a part of that tomorrow. And that probably helps in recruiting residually. If you don't get them, it's like, I don't know, they still have a top 10 class. I'm just saying, like, this is a huge one. If they got that guy, the number one recruit in the nation, and beat out Alabama and Florida State and Florida, I mean, come on, man.
Well, and here you go. And the same weekend, you're hosting the number 9 player in the country. You know how many high school football players there are? To have two guys in the top 10, both looking at your school,
that's
and
great.
One of them coming out to visit this weekend. I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely insane what they've been able to kind of do after you go, you know, kind of, you have to recover from going, oh, we've had 3 coaches in 3 years.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 3 coaches in 3 years. And I think this is why I think, cause I was listening to that Ducks, Michigan State preview show that was on after us last night on my way home. And they were talking, was it a successful season or was it not? I think it was a very successful season. If you have realistic expectations and are at least being a little bit more level-headed about where it's been.
Yeah.
Like you say, 3 coaches in 3 years, it was not going in a good direction. And it kind of feels like Taggart stabilized it.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, it was going south towards the end of Taggart bailing. A lot of people were players specifically were turning on him and seeing his true colors. It was not going well. And Cristobal has come in and his staff and no, they did not win 10 or 11 games like the schedule may be set up for. So that could be viewed as disappointing.
Sure.
But I think if you zoom out, it was a good season for them. They won 8 games. They're stable, and recruiting is kicking ass.
Well, it's funny because I think you may have been out, but we were talking with Joey Harrington. You must have been out. We were talking with Joey Harrington about this and how you go, well, this is where you expected them to be, you know, 7-8 win team. But the expectations changed so much when they beat Washington, when they played so well against Stanford, how the volatility of expectation changes from one week to the next. And everybody kind of circled the games they expected to win. They didn't win all of those. They circled the games they expected to lose. Well, they didn't lose all of those either. And then they look back at the season and go, oh, you know, I guess it was a successful season. So we always get clouded by the moment when we try to evaluate these seasons. But if it turns into one of these recruiting classes that can be a difference maker, and I was just looking through the names, and one that stands out is Cale Millen. He's only a 3-star quarterback, but he played for Mount Si, and they played against Skyview this
That's
year.
That's Hugh Millen's kid.
It is. And Skyview right across the river in Clark County, a guy named Cam Cleland helps coach that team. And he got to see him up front, and he said that's the best high school quarterback he's ever seen.
Yeah, he's the real deal. And he's only 3-star?
He's only listed as a 3-star on here, but when you have, you know, some of the Cam played big-time college football, played in the NFL for 8 years, and he goes, this is the best arm he's ever seen in high school football, and he's been helping coach for a long time. I mean, that really says something. So I think sometimes you look at these ratings, and in Texas and in Florida and Alabama, you can compare D1 talent to D1 talent in almost every game. But sometimes when you watch high school football in the state of Washington or the state of Oregon, it's hard to measure these kids.
Right.
And so to have somebody that played for, you know, a legendary University of Washington quarterback in Hugh Millen, and this kid comes out and just slings the ball around like he does, I take Cam's word on that in pretty high regard.
Let me address something here. The Better You Today text line is 55305, and somebody asks, well, ask Bar 2. And by the way, shameless plug, Bar 2's Big Bowl Betting Badass Breakdown is yes. Good ad.
I forgot one.
Good ad.
You're welcome.
That's Monday. So Bar 2 and I will be in here on Monday 3 to
7.
And I'll ask him this, but this guy says, ask Bar 2. By talent and schedule, they are -4 games coach effect. And what that means is, they should have won 4 more games than they did based on their talent and their schedule against who they're playing. And that is right. I know Bar 2 has been critical of this year and only winning 8. But I think he's also one that has said, and again, we'll talk about this more on Monday, but he has said people got too over their skis with expectations. It takes time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes, it is not perfect. It was not a perfect season in terms of you maximized your talent. In other words, people are pointing the finger at the coaching saying, well, if you're going to get a top 10 class in here, you better coach them up because they're saying, well, recruiting's great, but you still got to be able to coach them up. And there were signs that wasn't done this year.
Yeah.
But I would say give them – you got to give them time. I think you got to give them at least 2 more years, and they'll get this big-time class in next year. And then if you start seeing the same trends where they're sort of maybe not living up to the expectations talent-wise, then I think it's okay to have that conversation. I would say that if I were Cristobal, I'd be looking at the offensive coordinator spot this offseason. He's not going to, most likely.
And he said as much.
But I would be, and that may solve some of the problems that folks are talking about, but I also think it's interesting.
Also having a healthy left tackle who's an All-American.
They had some injuries. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like they had some injuries, and so all of a sudden they look so much worse, but it's like, well, they're only 1 year removed from 3 coaches in 3 years. Like you don't have the depth yet, so they're trying to build that, and so that could make it look like they're not as good sort of coaching up the kids. Sometimes you have a hole, and it's you just don't have anybody to fill it, and it costs you. And they had several of those, particularly on the offensive line. Yep. I still think they could use a new offensive coordinator, a better play caller, a more aggressive play caller. But then you have the whole thing of Herbert, and what he's going to do. I just think you got to give – and people hate hearing this because they don't care. They want their team to win and win now. But you got to give them – I think 2 more years. There's 1 year for Cristobal. I thought it was a good year. Now let's see what they do. If they continue this recruiting momentum in next year and the year after, they better be making fewer mistakes and having fewer duds than they did this year.
But tell me if I'm wrong. If they lose to Michigan State in the Red Box Bowl on New Year's Eve, fire them all, right?
Yes,
right.
Kill them all.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I mean, no fire. What?
Yeah, that's what we said.
Fire Altman. Wait.
Wait, who? What?
Is he the basketball guy? Thank you. Yeah, no, it's.
Bowl
They're
going
to beat Michigan State, by the way.
Yeah. Bowl games officially start tomorrow. We've got NFL games starting tomorrow. We will look ahead at the football weekend.
Yeah.
And we'll do that next. But first, we throw it to Mike with sports.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, Bruce Springsteen or Brian Adams singing you Christmas songs.
Oh, man. See,
I know that you love Brian Adams.
You're setting me up.
Throwing it out there.
Brian Adams.
Ooh.
I'm ducking. Notably ducking. Hey,
this is the only one I can think of from Bruce.
Quick follow-up on Cristobal. I wanted to throw this out there because we just often forget that he's a first – he's not a first-year head coach, but this is his first year at Oregon.
Yes.
And
he did lose the bowl game last year.
I have two fun facts.
Ooh, I love
about
fun
Cristobal.
Facts. They're so fun.
But look.
Have you noticed that about fun facts?
First-year coach win totals, okay?
Yep.
First-year coach win totals. Nick Saban, 6.
Oh, okay.
Jim Harbaugh, 4. Chris Peterson won 8. That was the year they played Hawaii, so they played 14 games. They were actually 8-6.
Okay.
James Franklin, 6. Mark D'Antonio, 7. Tom Herman, 7. Mike Leach, 7. Dan Mullen, 5. Mario Cristobal, 8. Not
so
bad.
Stinks.
It's terrible. It's like you forget that it just takes time. You don't just jump in and you have a good schedule.
What about Willie Taggart at Florida State?
would they end up winning?
4?
4 or something?
They missed a bowl game for the first time.
Dude, they dodged
forever.
Such a bullet losing that guy. Such a fraud. Seriously.
So that's the funny thing is you think about, Mario Cristobal, and I know a lot of people don't like Marcus Arroyo. You have to remember that a lot of those games, Jim Leavitt didn't have a great year coaching the defense either, but a lot of that is just getting depth in there.
That's right. And 5-7.
Okay, so
they ended up winning 5.
But they didn't make a bowl game for the first time in forever at Florida State. But I know a lot of people were upset at Marcus Arroyo because they wanted the play calling to be better, and it's difficult because I think everybody looked at the way the team was built and you go, well, you got to give Justin Herbert a chance. If he's this great quarterback that's supposed to be going to the NFL, then he's a great college quarterback. We need to give him the ball and let him run the offense. Let him go and run wild. They need to run the ball first. I mean, even Marcus Mariota was in a running offense. They just ran it a little bit differently. What Cristobal and Arroyo want to do is they just want to get C.J. Verdell right behind, a big, powerful offensive line and let him go crazy and then throw off of play action and make it easier for Herbert. They weren't able to do that, so when Herbert did have to throw, it was pretty easy to forecast. And that makes it hard for an offensive coordinator when you can't establish your identity.
Yeah, I would agree with some of that. I also think that they were just flat out too predictable, and I don't think that Marcus Arroyo is a great offensive coordinator, and I think that will ultimately be a problem. And that's one area where it's like, I have a hard time defending him.
I'm not saying that you're completely wrong, but also Jim Leavitt's defense did not improve the way it did from the year before.
No, that's right. They improved 10 spots. We went over this a couple weeks ago on the show. They improved 10 spots. But I also went through a scenario. I don't have to rehash it here, but one of our shows last week or the week before, we did a Jim Leavitt segment because Jim Leavitt makes he's top 6 in terms of assistant coach salary. He makes a lot of money. And I'm with you that their defense – a little disappointing this year, but they did play better late, and I think they are trending the right way. Everywhere he's gone, Kansas State, Colorado, and now Oregon, he has trended this way. It's taken him a couple years, which is our whole point.
That's exactly right.
And both spots, Colorado and Kansas State, prior, that third year or fourth year was a really big jump. Like, if you're expecting a big leap from number 117, which is what he took over in defense from Brady Hoke, you're crazy. But he did jump them to 74. And then this year, they were 64. Next year, or maybe the year after, one of these next couple of years, when I say give him 2 years, I think you will see their defense jump, or at least he has shown a history of getting his defenses to jump into the top 30 by year 3 or 4. And so that is exciting.
And the biggest thing hanging over your offense right now is whether or not Justin Herbert comes back. I mean, after the bowl game, you probably get an announcement, but that I think is going to make a huge difference in which direction this team goes next year.
And then my other fun fact, Cristobal's two coordinators, his defensive coordinator and his offensive coordinator when he was head coach at Florida International, both were just hired – for head coaching positions. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Who are these people?
Jeffrey Collins, who was just hired at Georgia Tech, was his defensive coordinator.
Okay.
And then Scott Satterfield, who was just hired.
He was the App State coach, right?
Yes.
But he
just got a bigger job. I think he's at Florida or Louisville now. Scott Satterfield. Yeah, Louisville.
There you go.
That was his OC.
There's the Mario Cristobal, the first branches on the Mario Cristobal coaching tree.
The coaching tree has only just begun to grow.
Oh, watch out. Marcus Arroyo is going to fly out of the nest soon.
By the way.
And we'll be upset for criticizing him.
The five wins for Florida State. Samford in the game they almost lost.
Samford. Not Stanford. Samford.
Northern Illinois. Louisville by four. Wake Forest, and then Boston College by one. Those were their five wins.
Yikes.
So not a great year for Willie Taggart in his dream job. His job he's going to retire. The last job he'll ever need. Yeah, he'll be fired pretty quickly. All right, let's look at some bowl games. Let's look at the NFL weekend, one or both, whatever we can fit in, and we'll do that next. And then it's the club. This is Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
Before we get into a little NFL talk, I just want to give an update for all the big Raptors fans out there listening to this program. Kawhi Leonard will play tonight.
Oh, damn it. So I thought
you made
Blazers,
a proclamation at 5:17 that the Blazers will win. Do you want to retract that? I'll give you one opportunity.
No, I told you it doesn't matter if he plays. They're going to win.
Okay.
But they're no longer going to win by 47. They will win tonight by six.
By six. Okay. Yes. Well, that makes it a better game.
You heard it here first.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you have any idea how many tiebreakers there are in the NFL? So we talked about this a little
10.
Bit.
Isn't there?
It's 12.
Oh, 12. Okay.
There's 12 different tiebreakers.
Has it ever gotten there?
I don't think it has. The 12th one is a coin toss. So if you get down to it and you tie in everything, I'll run through them very quickly. But this is what I love about the NFL. We're getting to that point in the season where you're trying to figure out all the scenarios, how your team can get in. The Browns are technically still eligible for the playoffs. The Falcons at 4-9 still eligible to make the playoffs.
Jesus.
I mean, it gets really crazy. Thank you, Souk. First tiebreaker is head-to-head. If you play a team and you have a better win-loss record head-to-head, obviously that's the next one. The next is the division, and then it goes to common games.
Wait, what tiebreaker are we?
NFL tiebreakers between two teams. So we're talking about
division.
The Chiefs and the
Chargers
right now are to the second tiebreaker because the Chiefs have a better record in the division, and there's because they have not lost a game in their division.
So you're saying the tiebreaker to break any tie. The same.
Yeah, when you're trying to figure out playoff spots, who's going to get one or who's going to win the division. So it goes division games is number two, common games is number three, and then you go games played within the conference, strength of victory, strength of schedule, best combined ranking among conference teams in points scored and points allowed, combined ranking among all teams in points scored and points allowed, common game, best net points in common games, net points in all games, best net touchdowns in all games, then it goes to a coin toss.
Jesus.
In college football, we go to a committee and we just let them
hash it out.
Pick.
Right.
Well, I think they looked better because of this and because of that, and I think this team looked better in this game. And you have so many fewer common opponents. This is what I absolutely love about the NFL. It's all very black and white, that they have gone through the painstaking labor of going, all right, but if that still doesn't solve it, what's next? They have 12 different tiebreakers. If two teams are tied, they have 12 different tiebreakers. If three teams are tied, and they have different ways to break all of these ties. With that being said, isn't it amazing that the Falcons are still eligible for the playoffs?
It is. Five games under 500. They suck.
Yeah, they're absolutely terrible. And this weekend's going to hash a bunch of different things out. And I was kind of just looking at the games that interest me because we talked about this yesterday, but Kirk Cousins is the only quarterback right now in the top six highest paid that is in the playoff picture. But they're playing against the Dolphins this weekend.
I never know what to make of the Dolphins.
Neither do I, but they're seven and six, and they're both hanging on. So
the Dolphins can, like, you can, let's say you don't watch football, and Monday you just wake up and read the scores. You will be equally not shocked that the Dolphins win by 30 or lose by 30.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you have no idea. They're they're that team.
I think the Vikings are kind of that team right now, but I don't think it's by 30. I think it's by 10. But the Vikings have been, well, I guess they lost by 14 on Monday night. I think that surprised a lot of people. But the Vikings, you know, right now, with everybody playing an odd number of games because of their tie, they're the only 500 team in the league right now.
You know, the Dolphins have been outscored by 65 points, if I'm doing my math correct.
And they have a winning record.
Yeah. And they're 1-5 on the road.
Isn't that crazy? 1-5 on the road?
Yeah, 55 points. 1-5, yeah. 6-1 at home, though.
6-1, so that means they have, what, two games at home and one on the road? Or one game at home, two on the road left?
I don't know. But they're playing who? Who'd you say they're playing? Oh, Minnesota?
Vikings. Yeah, Vikings, Dolphins.
Vikings are playing for their playoff lives.
Yeah, so you have both teams going head-to-head. You have the Panthers, who started 6-2, playing against the Saints this weekend. They are 6-7 right now because they lost 5 straight.
That's crazy.
This is their last shot.
We were raving about them. That's why I love the NFL, man. We were raving about the Panthers. Like, oh, man, Norv Turner is doing – I remember one time we were talking about Norv Turner has Cam Newton having the best season of his career. And now, look, Cam Newton, I've watched them a couple times the last couple weeks. He's hurt. I know he's got that – I think he's got a shoulder injury, and you can kind of tell. They just – they look fragmented and sucky.
Yeah.
You never know, man.
You've got right now two division leaders playing against each other. You've got Steelers and Patriots playing this weekend. You've got the Ravens, who hold all the tiebreakers going against the Bucs this weekend, who haven't been mathematically eliminated somehow.
Hey, Tampa, you know, you got to watch out for them.
You do.
That's what I think.
Giants still technically in the playoffs going against the Titans that are still in it. And then you've got the Cowboys and Colts might be one of the most interesting games here because the Cowboys are as hot as anybody.
By the way, I'm going to throw something at you here. By the way, Colts are going to win that game.
Okay.
Because that's a down spot for the Cowboys.
Yep.
I think it's a letdown game for them. Bucks. Okay, so Tampa Bay is 5-8.
Yes.
They have been outscored by 51 points. Miami has been outscored by 55 points, and they are 7-6. Both teams are 1-5 on the road. How about that?
And they're both from Florida.
So nobody likes to play in Florida.
And if you're from Florida, you don't like to play outside of Florida. Maybe it's just the best place to play and practice. I don't know.
Bucks are just weird. There's a lot of weirdness in this league.
That's seven matchups. That's seven... just about half the games in the NFL have two teams with playoff implications, which I think is great.
Good stuff. I love it.
None of those seven games are played tomorrow.
Do we get a good bowl game tomorrow?
The Arizona State, I think, is the most intriguing.
Yeah, Fresno
bowl game.
And Arizona State's the only one that looks decent. I mean,
well, you have Utah State and North Texas.
Did you just say dece?
I did.
Dropped a dece on it.
Boy, there's a segment. Can we talk about that? The new.
Vernacular?
Yeah, the abbreviated, like,
yes, yes.
This is the thing. No.
We can start with Joakim Noah can kick us off, and we can do that in the club. Let's talk vernacular in the club.
Totes.
Unless you're too lit.
Legotes.
Unless you're too lit.
Yeah, unless you're too lit.
All right, the club hour begins in, I don't know what, 2.5 minutes, and that is right here on 1080 The Fan.